All right, we'll start Psalm 124 tonight, and if we could have somebody read that for us, and then I want to go through, before I do, each time I speak, I'm just going to bring out some different thoughts about Psalms, just kind of an introduction to tonight, just kind of as we see tonight, we're going to see David as the author, but as you look through here, you see just the different chapters. In fact, at the beginning of each chapter, it'll say, for instance, a song of degrees of David, a song of degrees. Sometimes there's different words, and I have those, and I'll save them for another room that I go to. But they all have meaning. If you have a Bible dictionary or program, look up those meanings and what they. Some of them are about instruments. Some are about certain people. Some of them have to do with even singing inflections and pauses and voice inflections. But I thought we just, tonight, just kind of give you an idea. Psalms which have no inscription of any kind, there's 24 of those psalms. Of course, there are 73 psalms attributed to David. Now, this is somebody with a whole lot more brains than I have that came up with these. Of course, there's always discrepancies and people ascribes to somebody else maybe differently than this gentleman did. I took a couple of them and kind of weighed them against each other. Psalms attributed to the sons of Korah, 10. Many believe the sons of Korah led the singing, if you will, in the congregation of Israel. Psalms with the name of Asaph prefix, 12. A psalm to which the name of Haman and then Ethan and Moses, one apiece. And then you'll see sometimes it says a song or a psalm of songs, a psalm or song of the Sabbath day, a prayer of the afflicted. There are 6 of those. 10 hallelujah psalms and 10 psalms that are called psalms of degree for a total, grand total of 150 psalms. Does it matter who wrote it? Well, we know it was all inspired by who? God. And so, yes, they still had their own personality, just like we carry our personality, and we can see that in the writings, and that's how sometimes, even if it isn't attributed to somebody, they can kind of figure out. There's even one of the psalms in question, it could have been even this one, somebody questioned, it could have even been Jeremiah, and we don't know, but it says the Psalm of David. We'll trust that as we look through this tonight. And I chose this psalm for a lot of reasons. Number one was the content. Number two, because I wanted to go through every verse, and there's only 8 verses. And so, a chapter that has 20-some verses, I wouldn't have been able to do it as much justice as we can with 8 verses tonight. So that's kind of our goal. We entitled this tonight, and we're kind of reconnecting here, finally, as we're getting back to having services and having our times together. Entitled this tonight, Reconnecting with Our Deliverer. And we're going to see that in Psalm 125. Who wants to read that out for us? Could you do that good and loud for us? Thank you. Amen. Thank you. Just as introduction, there's 15 psalms from Psalm 124, from Psalm 120, Psalm 134. They're called Songs of Decree or Songs of Ascent. These songs were either sung by pilgrims as they were ascending, marching from Babylon, from captivity to Jerusalem, or they were sung by worshipers through Palestine. But anyway, they were songs that were sung. So, yes, it was authored by David, but yet they were sung as praise. They were sung just like I was made to praise the Lord and I will praise Him. Just like we sang that, these psalms were used to praise God. And just like some of you gave testimony tonight about praising God and recognizing what God has done in our life. And music is a way in which we express our soul. It really is. And this is not about music tonight, far from it. But you look at the different genres of music over the years, from blues to country to rap to right out rock. What is all that? It's really an expression of someone's soul, isn't it? All that music came from someone's heart, from someone's soul. Now, we may not agree with where it came from, or even the content or the lyrics of it, or even the language of the music itself, and the heart of the music, the beat, and what it does to a person or for a person. But the point is, it is somebody releasing their soul, and they're communicating through music. And so this music was what? It was about honoring God. It was praising God. It was glorifying God. And now we see the lyrics. We don't know exactly some of the Psalms. As we go through, you will see different words, different language that is used, and some of those have to do with a different instrument. Some of it's flute, some of it's a stringed instrument, some of it's multi-stringed instruments. And so when you read those, you can look those up. It'll tell you what actually, in some cases, those instruments are. So it was an expression of the heart. Well, let's start with number one, the declaration. We're going to see that in verses 1 and verses 2. Here's what he says in verse 1. And this is what really drew me to this chapter, because it's the redundancy. If it had not been the Lord who is on our side, now may Israel say. And then, here's what catches me. When anything's repeated twice, do your parents ever do that to you? Hey, listen. Right? It's like, okay, we're there. Whenever your parents said your full name, did that happen in your house? All right? It had meaning to it. It had significance. And here it was double. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side. The Lord, Jehovah God, the self-existent one, it could be said this, had it not been Jehovah, he was for us. Oh, let Israel say, had it not been Jehovah, he was for us. Repeatedly. I have on the screen, and I think in our notes, save for Jehovah who hath been for us. This could be one of the Hebrew understandings of this. Save for Jehovah. In other words, if it wasn't for Jehovah, save for Jehovah. Save for Jehovah who hath been for us in the rising up of man against us. Could somebody real quick look up Psalm 46, 7 and 8 and Psalm 56, 9? Somebody want to get those real quick? 56:9 is not in front of you. Who wants to look those up separately? You can. Who's got Psalm 46, 7, and 8? Do I see a hand down here? And then I think down here. And then Nicole in the back, could you do 56:9? I know that's on the sheet, but could you do that one? All right. Good. Do you have that?
I have 56:9.
Oh, okay. You do 56:9. Nicole, could you look up 46, 7, and 8? That's what I really meant. Go for it. Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. When I pray unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me.
Amen. God's for me. And some of our testimonies tonight, what a blessing. Real quick, if you want to fill in some blanks, I just kind of jotted these down because this is how it came to my heart, my mind. This was an abrupt saying. He got to the point, he said, hey, God is on our side. God is for us. If it had not been the Lord, if it wasn't for God, and we're going to make some application here in a minute. So it was abrupt. Number two, it was thought-provoking. Doesn't this make you think, hey, if it wasn't for God, where would I be? If it wasn't for God, what would I be doing? If it wasn't for God, we would not be here right now. I wouldn't even know you. You wouldn't even know me if it wasn't for God, right? If it were not for God, and we can go on and on, the protection that some of us talked about tonight, on and on we can go. We'll bring that out in a minute. It was thought-provoking. Follow the note here under that. Because of God's, if you don't have handouts, there are handouts over here by the tissues and by the hand sanitizer. 99.9% alcohol. Okay? Just don't drink it. Because of God's goodness and the narrowness of the escape, Israel could say, all were against us as one man to destroy us. And humanly speaking, our escape was impossible. David, in parentheses, personally experienced this with Saul and Absalom, as well as Israel as a nation, always escaping, always staying a step ahead. And who allowed that? God allowed that to take place. I saw that. God allowed that to take place. If anybody listens to this recording, they are in trouble. They have no clue what's going on in this room. Number three, Number three, it was a positive what if. You ever what if something and it's negative? Well, what if that doesn't happen? What if that doesn't take place? Well, what if I get sick? Or, well, what if it snows tomorrow? What if we get a bad storm? Or what? Do you know people that what if everything? And this is a positive what if. What if it wasn't for the Lord? We could say it that way. I know this wasn't in the form of a question, but we could almost ask it, and I have that coming up here in a minute. It was a positive what if. Praise God for that. Next bullet point. It was answering, really in a sense, it is answering a question. You can almost say rhetorical, but it's almost asking or answering a question. Hey, if it wasn't for God, where would we be? What would be happening? Who would we be praising? Who would we be thanking? Just happenstance? We talk about God's protection? Are we just saying, thank whoever? I'm glad things just worked out. I'm glad the stars aligned, that all was well. No, we thank God. Personally, because we know who our Creator is, because He is, as it starts with, He is Jehovah. He is the self-existent one. He is our God. It was answering a question. Then we see it was declared emphatically twice. We already mentioned that. It was repeated twice. It was declared emphatically. The next bullet point, it was God's power declared as the ally. God's power is declared as our ally. Who do you want on your side? Yeah, amen. We want God on our side, don't we? Can you imagine? Now, there are certain people. I have a list of about 10 guys I know I could call if I needed somebody to come bail me out in a real bad situation. If I needed some big, bad dudes. You know what? They can't touch, can they? They can't touch the power of God. God is our ally. He is on our side. By the way, there's no question who our ally is. There's no friendly fire when it comes to God. So praise God, He is our ally. He has our best interest at heart, emphatically, and then He is our power, He is our ally. And then, bullet point, second from the last, it reminds us this joyful fact, the Lord was and is on our side. I am so glad. So glad He's our ally. I'm so glad He's on our side. Can you imagine being on Satan's side and really having an understanding that you will not win, that you will not ultimately succeed, you will not ultimately come out, but those that know Jesus Christ, they're going to be victorious. If not on this planet, they will be hereafter, correct? Isn't that great? He is on our side. Who is on the Lord's side? We can sing that song. And I praise God, He is on ours. And then last bullet point, it reminds us to have an attitude of gratitude, and that's what we did tonight as we praise God and thank God. What you said came from a spirit of thanksgiving, a spirit of recognizing God. Can I say that ingratitude really is a sin, and ingratitude way too often permeates Christianity? We all have opinions about the last few weeks. We do. But you know what? To take it to ingratitude and to be ungrateful, We look in our life, just the blessings. I've done something the last few weeks I've never done. Please don't look at me weird, strange, or odd. But I visited food banks. And I'm telling you what, I've gotten meat. And can I tell you, thank God. We got a big old ham. Thank God. That's one less thing I got to buy at the store. And stuff like that is just, to me, it's like, hey, I'm so thankful. I know it's just a ham. I know it's just canned goods. Got to check the dates. I know it's just canned goods, but you know what? Praise God for stuff like that. The people have the kindness to do that, and we don't take that for granted. We're very thankful, and as we were unloading some groceries the other day, we said, thank you, Lord, for just bringing that. It was just brought into our paths, and we said, hey, so-and-so is doing a food pantry. Jump in there. So it's okay. And what a blessing. Praise God for that. And we're able to help some other people, and we thank God for that too. Think about it. Before we do that, think about it. Where would you be? And you've got to answer these. I wish we had time to take all these. Where would you be right now? If it had not been the Lord, where would you and I be right now? If it had not been the Lord, think about it. What grief would you be causing? Just think about it. what would be your purpose of living? Why do you get up every day? Because of 1 Corinthians 10:31, right? Don't you 1 Corinthians 10:31 in the morning? Therefore, eat or drink, whatsoever I do, Lord, help me do it all to the glory of God. Isn't that why I exist? Can you imagine having no purpose of life? Just existing? Just being? No, we exist for God. We exist for His glory. What lifestyle would you be living? Shudder to think, huh? We could go on with the questions. Whose life would you be affecting, negative or positive? What addiction would be controlling you? In our piety, we're sitting here, I wouldn't be addicted to anything. You know we can get addicted to pride. You know we can get addicted to our self-goodness. What enemy would be defeating you? We're going to look at enemies here in a minute. And what emotion would be manipulating you? And on we could go. Those are just some questions you might want to even just think through sometime. That brings us to number two. Number one, we see the declaration. As the psalmist says, if it had not been the Lord. Now verse 3, we see the danger and escape illustrated by there's two metaphors that he uses here. We see that verses 3 through 5. In fact, look at verse 3. Then they have swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us. So we have the first metaphor would be a beast of prey. You see that in number one there, a beast of prey that swallowed us up quick. We'll come back to that in a minute. And then the verse 4, then the waters. Now we see the beast of prey. Now we see the waters overwhelming us as in a flood or as if we're drowning. The stream had gone over the soul. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul. So we have two pictures. We have one of beasts eating us and devouring us. And then we have the other one of being drowned out. Your problems, your difficulties, your unrest, the things you face, maybe even health. Do you ever feel like you can't get to the surface? Like you're kind of hanging below sea level? I don't mean that grade-wise at school, necessarily. But I mean, literally, you just can't come up for air. You just can't breathe. We would say, I feel like I'm under a rock. And that's the picture here that the psalmist has. Now, there's assumptions that this was written after one of the defeats of the Philistines or going into battle. They're not exactly sure. And of course, we know there are many battles. But there are always enemies. And listen, Christian, there are always going to be enemies. It's going to happen. And can I tell you the saddest enemies are the ones that are within the Christian ranks? Those are the worst, aren't they? Those are, and they happen. And David even had that happen. David, even his own family. David, even people that he confided in would turn on him. You got to understand, you see it in the world today, but power is, and I'm going to say power is a powerful thing, but it really is. People will do anything for control. They will lie, they will hate. If you haven't noticed, this is an election year, and it's all bets off, isn't it? What people say, how people respond, how people will act, what people will do, just for what? For power, to win. Thank God, as a believer in Christ, we don't have to stoop to such living. We function beyond that, or we ought to. And so understand, even David's time, the power. And even we see his son Absalom later wants to take his dad's throne. Family doesn't matter. There ought to be some, even within a family, some respect, but there wasn't in that case. So we don't know exactly, but many believe that this was had to do with the Philistines and the battles constantly. And by the way, battle after battle, the Philistines were relentless. And we're going to bring the analogy here in a little bit, just like Satan is, who walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he devour. He is relentless. He does not quit. Does he quit on you? Oh, you may get a brief reprieve. By the way, do you know when Satan a lot of times reprieves from us? When we start going down the slippery slope, we start failing, we start falling, we start sinning. Satan backs off because he's getting us sliding. And then he'll come in for the kill. And so that brings us to that analogy, the first one. Beasts of prey. They had swallowed us up quick. They would have attacked us. It wasn't slow. It was quick. They would have torn us in pieces and swallowed us down while life was quivering in our limbs. If you've ever watched Animal Planet, you've ever watched a big cat, a lion, tiger, cheetah. Cheetah are my favorite animals because they're fast and I'll never be fast, so that's why I like cheetahs. But once they get that prey, it's incredible. That lion can jump on the zebra and it walks into his neck. And that's when my wife says, turn it off. Okay. Right? But he locks into that neck and he just hangs on. And what happens? That zebra makes a cry. It is sad. He goes down. And then the husband, the kids, the cousins, and even the hyenas come to get the leftovers, right? And he locks on, and that's what Satan does to us. And guys, that's why we preach the way we do. We have to stand. That's why we got to pray for each other. Satan wants to destroy us, wants to sift us. They would have done this in the fury. The plot was laid with great planning and caution. David is saying they have a purpose and a way and a plan to destroy us. But it would have been executed with a resentless or a resistless fury. They're not going to stop, and that's what our attacker does. That's what Satan does. And that's why we must be ready. We must have on the Word of God. We must have on the breastplate of righteousness. We must take that armor of God and have those things, and our feet shod with the thorough preparation of the gospel of peace. So we see the beast of prey, and then David said, it's like waters of trouble. They've overwhelmed us. They've gone over our soul. They're on top of us. So we have beasts of prey. We have waters of trouble which had broken through the dikes and once submerged the whole country. And this is metaphorically speaking. This wasn't talking about a literal flood, but it was like, it does not stop with Israel. And I understand Israel made its mistakes, and I understand that Israel had its own problems. Non-stop. I don't know if you saw footage, and just recently watched the footage of Midland, Michigan. One day Peggy came in, she goes, can you please pray for our family and friends? And I got on and I watched the dikes as they were breaking. And if you saw footage of that, it was just overwhelming for those people. Just water breaking next to the dam, breaking through the dikes, and just taking people's livelihoods, homes floating. How devastating. If you've ever seen or been around or had some flooding, even in your basement flooding, I know it is. It is troubling. And here in this case, a torrent. And so David is saying, they won't stop. They won't quit. And David, some of you mentioned different psalms where even the problems David has, it's a constant. David talks about crying himself on and on, himself to sleep, so to speak. So the torrent went over their soul. The proud boiling waves and waters had gone over them. Resistless. Now the dikes were broken. It would have gone over the soul, destroyed our life. If what? If it had not been for God. If it had not been the Lord. So don't say what if negatively. David here is positive. Hey, if God hadn't done this, we'd be destroyed. Some of us, we live in this idea of what's going to happen tomorrow? And if I'm not in control, then I'm not going to be able to accomplish anything. And I'm so worried about the future. I know right now it is weird, weird times. I'm sure you've uttered these words in the last few weeks. What is going on? I just wish I knew what was going to happen tomorrow. Isn't it amazing? Our contentedness a few weeks ago. Did you notice even though you didn't like it, you became content? It's like, okay, because everybody's doing this. But now, it's different, isn't it? By the way, there's some people that still can't drive. Now they're worse, right? But boy, because we're all in this together, kind of. So people, discontent. There's anger, so much more anger. Bitterness, frustration. And so, hey, had it not been for God, think about it. What ways have you created, even in your own life? What waves of life seem to overwhelm you? What spiritual ways maybe overwhelm you? In other words, what is the besetting sin? What is something that you're constantly struggling with? Is there a challenge? Is there something that you just can't get over? Psalms is full, by the way, of weapons verses for many serious issues that we all face. If not, seek us out. Give us a call. There's some pastor wives that are even here. If you're gentlemen, call us pastors. I've got weapons verses for all kinds of subjects. And memorize those and put those to good use to defeat our foe. Number three, the deliverance acknowledged. We see this in verses 6 and 7. Blessed be the Lord. Now what does he do? Man, I'm overwhelmed. I feel like we're in a trap. Or I feel like we're caught in teeth and I'm overwhelmed. I feel like the waves are coming over me. Then the proud waters have gone over the soul. Look at verse 6. Blessed be the Lord, who hath not given us to prey. Oh, praise God. He didn't give us to this prey, to their teeth. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we are escaped. Breaking those chains, if you will. The deliverance acknowledged. What does he do? Blessed is the Lord. Blessed is the Lord. We are not given a prey to their teeth, and our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowler. There are five aspects, real quick, I know we're against the time, of the process of the freedom of deliverance. Real fast. Beyond expectation, the deliverance is illustrated by another metaphor. Now it's a bird taken in, but escaping from the broken snare. The word snare, we just say trap, but there's a snare that they would set on a stick, and it would be like on there'd be a twig or a stick, and then there'd be some type of a string that when the bird got where it shouldn't be, was taking the bait, it would trip it and it would come down over him, catch him, kind of like almost in a cage or a netting. The other one has to do almost with a piece of kind of like a mousetrap. You ever seen that poor mouse? So anyway, bottom line is it's a snare, it's a trap of some sort. So now we see the bird, this metaphor of the bird. First of all, the fowler, that is the hunter. Who is our hunter? Who's our hunter? Who's after us to destroy us? Satan is. And then we have the snare itself, the snares. What is the love of this world? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's to start with, isn't it? The snares, the fear of man. Yielding to temptation, on we could go with different snares, different things that entrap us. Jealousies, pride, anger. Those are things that can entrap us or ensnare us. By the way, our own self-conceit or self-belief that we're good people can even become a snare many times. Number three, the captive, that is our soul. So we have the fowler, we have the snare, we have the captive. That is our soul. David's saying, my soul was about to be a captive, entrapped by Satan himself. Number four, then we see the breaking of the snares. The snare is broken. And then number five, we see the escape. Our soul is escaped as a bird. And who breaks it? Did David break it? Who broke it? God did. God did. And the fact that David recognizes it in his own life, and that's the only person who can break the chains, whether it's addiction, whether it's self-absorption, whether it's conceit, whatever it is, it is escaping, and only through the power of God. God is our way of escape. We've got 5 minutes to roll. Number four. Now we see the deduction. This is not quite the conclusion, but we're getting there. Look down at verse 8. Our help, this is where it's all at, guys. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who hath made heaven and earth. Who do we go to for help? When are we willing to ask for help? Can I tell you when most people ask for help? When it is seemingly too, what? Late. When we're at the bottom of our barrel. Now I'm talking spiritually here, obviously. I'm talking maybe in the area of an addiction. When we had our addiction ministry here, people would say, well, I finally am at the bottom of my barrel, I need help. And I'd say, you don't have to be at the bottom of your barrel to get help. Because what happens, we get to our wit's end, we get to the end of ourself, and we say, you know what, I can't do it anymore. Well, the truth of the matter is, we can't do it anymore. We've never been able to do it. And our problem is, we become very self-assured. I got this. Remember training wheels? Remember your little 3 or 4 year old? And then as soon as you want the training wheels off, no, Daddy, I do. And what happens? Crash. Let me help the back of your seat. No, Daddy, I do. Crash. Let me help you. No, Daddy, I do. And then what? Finally what happens? After tears, after scrapes, Dad, will you help me? And guess what Mom or Dad does? Sure. But you know what? We don't have to do that even with God, and we do so many times. We sing the song, Lord, I need you. Do you? Or only when we're in trouble. Only when we're at wit's end. Only when things seem to be overwhelming us. So our help, the deduction, number one, our help is in the name of the Lord. Our help is in the name of the Lord. And number two, this is so huge. That help is what is sufficient. It is all sufficient. It is more than sufficient. And more than, if you will, efficient. It is sufficient. For He made the heaven and the earth. He is the Lord. He is the self-existent. He's Jehovah, the self-existent one. Has both under His authority and can employ both in the support and the deliverance of each person that follows after Him. He wants to free us. He wants to let us go. And then in conclusion, what might have been? Number one, what might have been? What was the people... what the people of God would have been if the Lord had not been on their side. Well, we know what they would not have been. They would not have been Israel, the nation, as we have it today. Because they would have been destroyed if God has not, through the years, been on their side. This is interesting. Letter A, what if left to their enemies? Israel left to Pharaoh. What if Israel was just left to Pharaoh and his hosts in the time of Moses? Or left to the Canaanites in the time of Joshua, or to the Midianites in the time of Gideon, or Judah to the Assyrians in the time of Hezekiah, then they would have what? Swallowed us up. What if it had not been for God working through the Pharaoh in the life, through the life of Joseph? Let's go that far back. What if Joseph would have been bitter at his brothers? What if he had said, I'm not gonna reveal myself to them. I'm not gonna help them. I'm not gonna go get my father. I'm not gonna bring them to Egypt. What if one person, and you can even look at Joseph's life, and Joseph could say, if it had not been the Lord, because we would have been bitter, we would have been angry. There's probably, he very well could have sinned with Mrs. Potiphar, couldn't he? All in all, you look at his life. He could have never been remembered by the baker. He's forgotten by the butler and the baker. At one point, he would have never been remembered by them. See, on we could go with the what ifs. And then let it be, what if left to themselves? What if we're left to ourselves? If you were left to yourself, what would you do? When things are bad, grab a gallon of ice cream and eat it all up, right? Don't that make you feel better? Isn't that how some people deal with their problems? Let's eat it away. If left to ourselves, some of us would go sin it away, wouldn't we? When it comes to sin, if it wasn't for God, we could live our life however we wanted. We would just throw caution to the wind, and we would go live in sin. We'd go run the streets. We would live lawlessly if it had not been for the Lord. So what might have been, and then why it has not been? This is what the people of God are with the Lord on their side. All the designs of their enemies against them are frustrated. When God is on our side, He frustrates our enemies, Satan. Satan doesn't get it. Satan doesn't understand God's protection in our lives. Let it be, their inward sorrow is turned into joy. Praise God for that. See, you and I have something the world doesn't. It's joy. Even in the midst of trouble, even in the midst of difficult times, we have that joy. And let us see both their inward and then outward troubles work together for their good. All things, Romans 8:28, work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. If it had not been the Lord, maybe tonight as you pillow your head, just say, God, thank You. Because I don't know where I'd be if it wasn't for You. There are people in this room, you would not be married to your spouse if it wasn't for God. There are people in this room, you could tell your life history or your families how God has protected your life or their life or your ancestors, maybe even people that came from another country, how God brought them here. And if it had not been the Lord allowing that to take place. So maybe tonight, just, God, if it wasn't for You, I recognize tonight, let alone living, let alone the gospel of Jesus Christ saving each and every one of us. So even turn that into a question if you want to sometime. What if, positively as we can, what if God hadn't intervened in our life? You know, there are times we won't even be able to answer because there are things God's done that we'll never know. His protective beings around us, we'll never know. But I thank God they're there, don't you? Let's close tonight in a word of prayer.